มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and Kickboxing news worldwide
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and along with me is my co-host, Vinny Scotto. You can catch me on Instagram at EricRivera_TSC. And Vinny, where can they get in touch with you, man?
Instagram, which is at Vinny Scotto.
All right, guys, and as always, you can catch us also on Instagram at Striking Corner. And on Facebook at Striking Corner as well.
And also, you can find us on Instagram at Striking Professional, which is, most of you already know, have seen it on social media. We released our new brand of clothing. It's pretty sweet streetwear. Striking Professional. You know, we wanted to keep the striking theme to go with the Striking Corner. And just didn't like the way Striking Corner sounded as a brand name. So figured Striking Professional is pretty awesome.
Tell me more.
No, we actually redid the store, made some new designs, released some new shirts, made some hats, shirts for women, tank tops, obviously t-shirts. And we opened up the shop, was it like 2 weeks now?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I want to, you know, I really do want to tell you guys that everything you guys are seeing now, if you go to the shop, for you guys that haven't listened or don't know, and the shop is now open, strikingprofessional.com, as Vinny just said.
Well, this is the first episode since the shop, because we've been slacking on the podcast end of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't know if it's a little combination of both. We've been slacking on the podcast, but also we've been like, I think, going a little bit crazy with this whole shop thing. A lot of making sure that the designs were coming out. But I really got to say, you know, so that you guys all know, you know, I'm the big talking guy. I'm the guy who's really passionate about Muay Thai, and I love to talk and design and do stuff. I guess I would say I'm the more passion guy, the more vocal guy. And as you guys know, Vinny is kind of more quiet, but he's still very passionate, as he has his gym as well. But Vinny's the business guy, and I got to give kudos to him, because really this thing right now with Striking Professional, the shop, everything that's going on is his freaking baby, man. And that thing is, he's making sure that the shop is running really well for all of you guys. So hopefully if you guys go and things are working and you're buying your shirts and you're getting this stuff, that all is because of Vin. So
I don't sleep.
Yeah, he's really making sure that that shit runs.
Between the shop, the gym, the striking, the podcast, my one-year-old, I don't sleep.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's been a little bit of slacking, but it's also been a lot of us really trying to get this. To be honest with you, I mean, how long have we been talking about doing this, Vin? I mean, we've been talking for a long time, Vinny's been pressuring me to do designs. Yeah, I know. But you've been pressuring me to do designs for the new Striking Professional or Striking
Since
Corner.
2005.
So, yeah. So it's been tough. It's been finally where I was like, okay, we got to do this, you know. And we've always had a love for the sport. I've always had a love for design. But between my job and my kids as well and everything, I slacked on that end too, and then I focus a lot on the podcast.
I have a love for t-shirts.
Huh?
I have a love for t-shirts.
And yeah, Vinny has a love for t-shirts. So I think we all do, man. I think everybody loves them. I mean, a lot of people love from the feedback we've gotten so far about Striking Professional. You know, a lot of you guys are liking the stuff. We just came out with a new design.
I'm talking about just our t-shirts. I just like t-shirts. If I never had to wear anything but a t-shirt again in my life, I'd be the happiest man. You can even ask my wife. She hates it, because if any of you guys ever watched the show Californication, she calls me Hank Moody because all I ever wear is black t-shirts.
Ah, yeah. V-necks, so, usually.
Yeah, V-neck, black V-neck. Unless it's a graphic tee, then it's a round neck.
Yeah. Well, that is true. I don't think I've ever seen you in a button up.
Like not in a lot of years.
Yeah, man. I unfortunately, there was a time where I used to work. My job used to require me never to wear a button up tee, and it was awesome, or a shirt, I mean. And it was great. And now I'm in a more sort of corporate environment where I do have to wear.
Sucker.
Yeah, exactly. I am the working man is a sucker. Hashtag Bronzetail. So listen, I know you guys have been wanting to, some of you guys have been talking, telling us, hey, when's the podcast coming out? So here it is. And we do obviously now want to pick up from where we left off and make sure we continue to podcast as much as we were before and do every 2 weeks. Hopefully one day we'll do one a week, but it's just very difficult for Vinny and I with his schedule, my schedule.
I think on the last episode we said we'd be back in 2 weeks, and that was like probably almost 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Pretty shitty of us.
Yeah.
We're sorry, guys. We're really sorry.
But then again, you know, I went a while back, I went to a social media conference, and a bunch of these like big name podcasters, a lot of big name podcasters were there, and they kind of said, listen, no one gives a fuck if you guys don't podcast. Just do it like you never left off. So reminding you guys that we fucked up is kind of not a good thing. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to pick up, like I said, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to continue on with the podcast as much as we can. Every 2 weeks is really the schedule that we want to keep. We occasionally we'll drop off like Mother's Day, you know, obviously, or some days that we can't do it because we do record these on a Sunday. So a lot of times if we're out, it's a holiday or something like that, a long holiday, and we're not able to do it. Vinny's schedule, my schedule, they don't combine. Those are the days.
Sometimes I really have no interest in talking to Eric. So
that happens as well. That happens more often than you guys think. So so that happens, yeah. But really today, besides obviously talking about the shop and how excited we are about the shop, and bringing that to your knowledge, I mean, one thing that's been going on that's really big news, obviously, in the Muay Thai world, and if you guys are new to the sport, which we love attracting new ears that are listening to what we're talking about, Muay Thai, because Muay Thai and kickboxing are our passion, really what we want to talk about is IFMA. You know, we want to talk about what's been going on with the IFMAs.
Before we go on to IFMA, you know what's really awesome?
Yeah.
I had, because you're talking about new ears and new people in the sport.
Yeah.
I had one of the new people at my gym says she's been there, I don't know, maybe like a month or so now.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to me like a week or two ago and she was like, hey, I didn't know you had a podcast. She was like, you didn't tell me. And it was funny because I said, you were listening to it. And she said, yeah, I would listen to it. And I was like, oh, I know that voice. I said, so wait, you listened to it without knowing that it was me and just like looking up Muay Thai shit? And she was like, yeah, that's how I found it. And then I recognized your voice.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no. And then like we've gotten hit up by people sometimes, you know, people will DM us on Instagram. And like recently we had a guy he's an Irish guy that lives in Thailand. His name is, I believe is Josh. So shout out to you, man. He contacted us and just said, hey man, I got this picture of a great teep I threw at an event and can you put it up? And we're like, I'm just like, fuck yeah, man. I mean, to have people reaching out is always a great thing. So, you know, I just always want to tell people we're just two regular dudes that really love the sport. Vinny has a gym. I train at a gym. I eventually want to open my own. It's one thing that I've always talked about. And that's, you know, we're just two guys that really love the sport and we're always open books about, you know, we love the sport a lot and we do have a certain expertise because we've been in the game and we've been in the game a long time. But nobody, you know, we're not experts, I would say. We are experts in certain parts of the field, sure, but because of our experience, but we are not the be all end all of knowledge. That's why we bring on a lot of intelligent and really well informed people in the game that we respect to kind of give you guys more knowledge. So, anyway, you know, moving on from that, you know, we wanted to talk about IFMA.
Also, I'm going to interrupt you again because that's what I do.
Yeah.
If any of you that have purchased shirts or anything, send us a picture and you just might get featured on one of our pages.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've been doing, just so you guys know too, at Striking Professional, as Vinny said, is the page for the brand. I want to keep the Striking Corner, you know, with all the news for everything that's going on with Muay Thai. So, but we will occasionally obviously share or repost images of the products from Striking Professional to Striking Corner. But if you guys do, you know, wear the t-shirts that we have and are doing them, we really want to push you guys doing them during using them during training or when you're out and about or whatever. We would love it if you would send us those images. And yeah, if they're good images and stuff, we will definitely post them up. And, you know, just don't send us like, you know, like a dick pic of you wearing the shirt. You know, it's just not, we're not going to post that, obviously, you know. We might keep it, but we're not going to post it. Anyway, so can I go now to IFMA, dude?
Yes, let's go to IFMA.
All right, so IFMA is International Federation of Muay Thai Amateur. It's basically the biggest Muay Thai tournament in the world. I think we've had a lot of guests on here talk about it. Vinny and I have been throwing our support 100% behind the USMF, which is the United States Muay Thai Federation. It is headed up by Michael Chase Corley, who is doing a great job in really trying to get Muay Thai in the United States to the level of where it is worldwide. So, I mean, to make, you know, to not, how would I say, to talk a little bit about what's going on is really a lot of people here in the United States, we do Muay Thai. You guys see shows like Lion Fight. You see shows like Warriors Cup. You know some of the big names that are pros. But, I mean, not, I don't, you know, I don't want to offend anybody on this podcast because really what we're trying to talk about is the growth of the sport. And really what it is that we are, as a nation, far behind the rest of the world when it comes to Muay Thai. You know, we're far, now I wouldn't say, I don't want to say far behind. We're not incredibly far behind, but we are behind. And it's something that Michael Chase Corley and guys like Patrick Rivera, who's been on the podcast, we've had Asa, we've had Emilio, fighters who have also fought, who have fought on the US team, Janet Todd, who has fought on the US team. We've had Brian Popjoy, who is a coach for the team, Jason Farrell, all those guys are doing a really, really tough job of going out there and a really great job of going out there and coaching fighters, American fighters, to compete against the best in the world. And when we talk about the best in the world, I'm talking about teams from Thailand, Belarus, Bulgaria, Russia, Ukraine, Sweden. These guys are killers. These teams are killers. And when we go out there,
And they're backed by their nation.
And yeah, and that's the big thing. They are backed by their nation. They are backed by their country in the sense that some of these guys that go and compete at these tournaments are getting, they're not, it's not getting paid in the sense of being a pro, like you're getting paid per bout. They're getting paid to perform. They're getting subsidized for their training, for their travel to get there. And then if they win, if they bring back gold medals, then yes, they are monetarily rewarded. But more so than anything, it is really about representing their country. And not only that, but gaining experience and representing their country at this huge tournament. And that is something that I feel is kind of lost or being lost on a lot of American fighters of, you know, going out there and really, whether you're pro or you're amateur, which we'll get into in a little bit, really going out there and trying to fight the best in the world, win, lose, or draw, that's what you're trying to do. It has nothing to do with winning, has nothing to do with losing, or, you know, they don't draw there. So win, lose, they're going out there to fight the best in the world, to gain experience against the best of the world in order to continue to gain experience. Why? Because here in America, we have this one big problem. And it's been addressed by a lot of our guys that have come on the show, especially guys like Eric Haycraft and Brian Popejoy. A lot of these guys will say a lot of our American fighters, amateur, and I'm talking a lot of you amateurs, because a lot of you guys will go out there, fight six or seven times, and then decide to go pro. And then wonder why, when you go pro, not only are you not finding a lot of fights, but then you are going to run into somebody who's going to seriously whoop your ass. And if you go overseas, they're seriously going to kick your ass. And why is that? Because these guys overseas, some of these guys that competed at IFMA are technically amateurs, and we'll get into that, have 300, 200, 150 amateur fights, what you consider here in the United States amateur fights. That means fights where they're really not getting paid to compete. They're just competing. They're at a lot of these tournaments and just fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And that is how they're gaining it. And what happens is a lot of you guys also, and this is a big problem in the United States, and I think Vinny can speak well about that because he has a lot of fighters fighting. There's a lot of guys who are 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, posting up fucking fan pages and that they're, you know, I am whatever, I am 3-0 as an amateur, and now I have a fan page, follow me. You guys are doing things like dropping out of fights, trying to pick who you want to fight against in order to pad your record, to, you know, to get continue saving that O, and that really doesn't fucking matter.
Nope.
You
means
know
nothing.
So, you know, I don't know if you want to take some there and add some stuff in before we get into some other shit, but you know, you've had some experience with that.
The thing is, everybody's so worried about, you know, going pro and making, and really, really, what is that even going to do for you? Because at this point, the where Muay Thai is in this country, I mean, how much you get paid as a pro fighter? $1,000, $2,000? I mean, what is that going to do for you four times a year? Mm-hmm. So why do you want to go pro? Like, why wouldn't you rather represent your country and beat the best on the biggest stage in the world for Muay Thai? Mm-hmm. Like, focus on that. Focus on trying to become a part of Team USA. Focus on growing the sport. And you know what? The money will follow.
I would say focus on being... It's not even so much about money or prestige or any of that stuff. I mean, it's really about, you know, being part of Team USA or getting on board with these things like USMF, or when you go to Warriors Cup and all these other fights, it's about getting the experience, about getting out there and getting the experience. I mean, if you as an amateur don't take a fight, let's say you're a 3-0 guy and you're an amateur and you don't take a fight because this guy comes from a gym that's fucking tough, right? Out of, I don't know, someplace in New York or some part of Pennsylvania or California or whatever, and you've heard that the gym is tough and you're like, fuck, I don't want to fight him because I'm 4-0, I want to keep my O record. I guarantee you that if you keep on doing that and you get, say, you get to like a 12-0 record and then you decide to go pro, the guys that they're going to be bringing to you maybe occasionally are going to be guys that might have done the same thing, but a lot of them are not. And then if you ever go overseas, you're going to get really fucked up because some of these other guys out there are guys, I said, once again, 150, 200 fights. And what's going to happen is your career is going to go absolutely nowhere. You're going to hit a wall. And not only that, for you guys that do that shit, that pull out of fights and stuff like that in order to save that zero record or continue to pad it because of that, you know, there's a lot of people already. We talk, you know, all these guys that have been on our show, they're all on these events. A lot of the good coaches out there, which we highly respect, they talk about fucking guys like that. And those are the guys that don't make it in the sport, you know, because everyone's going to blackball you because they're going to find out that you're the guy that doesn't go to fights, doesn't get on weight or quits at the last minute because you're scared. And if you're scared at that level, trust me, you're not really going to be a Muay Thai fighter. You know, you're never going to be at a high level.
Find the new sport.
And really, and this goes too for people that are aspiring to go pro. And listen, I'm talking from a point of view of somebody who's been in this sport a long time. Like, I mean, we are going to try to obviously get guys that were at the current IFMA because they reached out to us. There's a lot of stuff that changed. There's a lot of stuff they want to analyze. There's a lot of stuff they want to talk about how important IFMA is. And they'll tell you, you know, they will say it. We've seen posts and things already where they're already talking about it, that this whole I got to get paid mentality of fighting here in the United States is really why it's not going to grow. Because if you want to get paid, let's say you're a Muay Thai fighter, if you want to get paid, then find something else.
Forget about getting paid.
Yeah.
My advice is anyone who's fighting right now, just starting out, training, whatever, going pro should not be your goal. I tell all the guys in my gym that are fighting, I say make your goal to be on Team USA, which is not easy to achieve.
Yeah.
Because we had some, you know, some really superstars on that team this year, and they had a hard time out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the level. So I tell all my guys, make Team USA be your goal, not going pro. Because going pro isn't, you know, it's not going to get you far unless we raise the level in the country.
Yeah.
So if everyone has a common goal of that, of raising the level, you know, being on Team USA, representing the country, then, you know, going pro after that may get you somewhere.
Yeah.
But everybody's got to be on the same page.
Yeah, and it also raised the bar. If we have more and more and more amateurs going at higher and higher, higher levels, we're going to have a lot of really talented and experienced amateur fighters that you guys are going to be able to compete more often. And especially if you're not the type that is like trying to pull out of fights or anything because you're trying to pad your record. Like, that bullshit just doesn't fly. You know, I'm sorry. If you're one of those people that do that and you feel like you're getting called out, you're getting called out.
It's fucking, I hate
that,
you.
You're getting called out. That's what this is for. Because you can't pad your record and expect that you're going to get anywhere. If you're thinking about that and then jumping into MMA, listen, there's guys who have been doing MMA, amateur MMA, and stuff like that. The way MMA is going right now, those pro guys, those guys are fucking beasts. And the ones that are getting paid a lot of money, they are the outliers. Those John Joneses and Ronda Rouseys or now like, you know, Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Look at Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She won IFMA 6 times in a row or 5 times in a row. Valentina Shevchenko won IFMA 8 times in a row. You want to look at those girls and see how the fuck are they so good? It's because of that. Because they have insane amateur records. Insane amateur records. They fought a lot before getting in there.
By record, we don't mean win-lose record. We mean experience, amount of fights.
Yeah, we're talking amounts of fights. That's the one thing that you guys all really have to understand about what's going on in the sport. You know, it's not about getting paid. It's about raising the bar for this sport. Okay, so here's one thing I wanted to do. You know, Asa Tempao is an absolute killer. Great fighter. If you guys don't know who he is, please go Google him now and you know, watch his fights.
If it wasn't for the unfortunate mishap that happened, he would have definitely had gold.
Yeah, I mean, Asa is an incredible fighter. We've known him since he was like 12, 13 years old. We've always supported him, and we've seen him just grow and grow and grow in the ranks. And what he did and the way he performed at the recent IFMAs was amazing. He pretty much outclassed. He fought. His first fight was Thailand, and he basically beat Thailand pretty dominantly.
3 rounds to none.
Yeah, and then in his second fight, he fought Turkey and dominated the guy and then got caught with a real small knee that just cut him, and in IFMA, a cut will not let you continue.
It sucks because the knee, you could see the knee didn't even do any damage aside from the cut.
Yeah, it was just
get stunned. He didn't hit the ground, nothing. It was just the cut. That's all it did.
Yeah, but
it was enough to keep him from moving on.
Yeah, it was enough to keep him from moving on, but he made waves. And not only did he make waves, let me tell you, not only did Asa make waves because
he was in almost every newspaper around the country.
Yeah. Not only did he make waves because of how he performed, he made waves also because the fact, we're going back to this whole thing. He is a pro fighter in the United States.
He is his a mentality.
Yeah, no, but not only that, he is a pro fighter in the United States. And I said we'll get to this whole amateur pro debate. So people are wondering, why is he a pro and fighting in an amateur tournament? Because the way things run in every other place in the world is very different to the way they're run in America. And the elite A class of IFMA, pros from all over the world are fighting there. The only difference, the only thing that makes this, I guess, an amateur tournament, if you want to think about it that way, is the fact that they're wearing headgear and shin pads and elbow pads. But the fighters that you're facing, guys like Yadsen Klai, Artem Levin, Andrei Kulubin, you know, like I was saying before, Valentina Shevchenko, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, all of them have fought at IFMA in the A class. Simon Marcus, all those guys fought in A class. And so Asa, who is a pro, fought in A class, and he did really, like I said, he did amazing. Beat the first guy, Thailand, fought against the second guy, Turkey, and he did really well. And yeah, he could have gone on to possibly win gold or medal. But the thing is, even with all of that experience, last year Asa had all of that experience too, and he got knocked out in the first round against the guy from Russia. You know, and that's just what it means is I'm not trying to say Asa wasn't good in that fight. He didn't do as good that year. What happens is that's the fucking level that you're running into at IFMA. These are the best and the best in the world. And some of them are guys that are unknown to you guys because you probably don't follow them. You don't follow all the Muay Thai around the world. And the level of Muay Thai around the world, and especially in these like Eastern Bloc countries, is insane. They are really fucking good. And this is all they do. Seriously, that's all they do. All they do is fight.
What did you say to me the other day when we were talking about it, about Russia?
I just said it's cold as fuck, and they fight. That's it. That's all they have with their lives. You know, I just always envision that about it's kind of how I always feel about just really pissed off Russian guys. It's cold, and that's what they're doing. So, yeah. But, yeah, so going back to that, it's just – so here's a post that Asa put up because Asa lost the fight, and it was heartbreaking, you know, because, I mean, obviously he's one of the top guys we had on the team. There's a lot of other great fighters on the team as well. He was one of the top guys we had on the team, but he really wrote a great post, and I reached out to him and said, Asa, can I read it on air? So I'm going to do that right now. So basically he said, for those that want to know about IFMA, International Federation of Muay Thai Amateur, and why I chose to do it, I'm very much passionate about competing in anything martial arts, and I choose to elevate my skills over my financial gain. That's one hint right there. This has always been my way and has been the martial arts way. Ever since I began my journey being a part of a team that represents my birth country, here the U.S., ever since he began his journey, his lifelong dream has been competing for the United States and still is after being selected for the team. I reside on the East Coast in South Florida, where Muay Thai is just a whisper. In 2015, after winning a tournament, I was asked to join the USMF team. I said yes immediately without knowing anything about the IFMA tournament. I've spent years and years trying to acquire this with zero to no doors for me to go through, so saying yes was the obvious answer. My first experience going in, I was declared an A-class fighter because I had nearly 50-plus amateur bouts. It was only until I arrived in Thailand that I soon found out that this was a pro amateur tournament. I fought out of my weight class because I was told I had to make weight every single time I fought. So I chose to fight at 67 kilograms, which is 147 pounds. I stepped in against a fighter from Kazakhstan who had 200 plus bouts, and he beat me 2-3. In the beginning, I was intimidated and unsure of my ability to compete with top talent. After fighting, I learned a lot about myself, and it fueled my fire to train harder and be better, which is the martial arts way. I had one more amateur fight and showed I was ready for American pro standards. As most of you know, I made my debut on Lion Fight Promotion with a seasoned veteran, not a debut, but that's another topic. And now I am declared a professional in the USA, but outside the USA, I am declared an A-class fighter. I spoke to the president of USMF and told him I want to do all that I can to be a part of this team because of the opportunity to fight the highest level of athletes from around the world. Examples, like we had mentioned, Kulabin, Superbon, Yadvicha, Vakatov, Yadsinklai, Levin, and Marcus, all pro guys, have fought in this tournament. For me, this is the best way to continue to raise my abilities and skills while representing my country and myself. I do not get paid. I repeat, I do not get paid to do this. Other countries such as Russia, Thailand, Israel take care of their fighters, expenses, and even give them subsidies once they win medals. The United States does not. So again, the question is asked, then why is it fair for pros to fight with amateurs? You guys need to just stop it already. We have separate classes, A class for the elite and B class for the competitive. Take the word pro and amateur out. Believe me when I say that your pro status in the United States means shit out here. Professional means you get paid money for a fight, and amateur means you don't. Examples in France, they use elbow pads for all of their pro fights. Are they amateurs or are they pro? So it brings me back to why I do this tournament. This tournament has raised my stock and elevated my skills quicker than any pro fight I have done in the United States, period. What you see me do in the professional ranks outside of my coaching is from the experience of going in front of the best in the world on one of the biggest stages in martial arts. I will continue to be a part of this team for as long as I can or until someone whips my ass and takes my spot. I hope this gives more insight into this tournament, and I have opened myself for comments from those who are willing to better themselves in knowledge in this area. I love Muay Thai and I love representing the USA, and that is Asa 10 Pow, guys. I mean, what else can be said? The dude is leading from the front. Like I said, I've always been a fan of this guy. And that's what he says. Your pro status here in the United States doesn't mean shit. And this is a pro guy who gets paid here in the States. He gets paid. But he goes to this thing on his own dime because he wants to fight the best in the world.
Which is how it should be.
My question to a lot of you guys out there that are pro, and I know we might get shit for this. my question to a lot of you guys out there that are pro is, you know, why aren't we seeing more pros step up and do this? You know, there's, you know, we have other fighters that could do this. Now, obviously, if you're at a, I mean, you know, you guys, we have like Onion Tall Beach, who's obviously in a big organization now with ONE, and he's doing well in that case. But I would invite him. I mean, maybe one day, hopefully, could he represent? Or, I mean, it would be up to him because he might choose to represent the country of his birth. But, you know, there's just so many different options. I know Gaston Bolaños once represented for the USMF. But Gaston Bolaños is now making waves. He's doing things in MMA, which sucks because, you know, we would love to see him do more Muay Thai. And I know he is. But, you know, he's doing MMA because it pays more. And he's doing well, so I understand that. But for a lot of these other guys that are pro that you can't expect to make a living off of doing just Muay Thai, and, you know, if you are fighting pro, you probably have another job.
But even so,
yeah,
whether you're making money in you know, because you're doing well in MMA or some other promotion, what does that even matter? It's a week. If you're if you're fighting in other organizations, you're training for fights anyway. So what is the big deal? And even so, I mean, I may get shit for this, but even so, if you are making waves and you are making money in the sport somehow, then you have money to bring yourself there. What does it even matter? It's a week of your time to go represent your country. Is it because you have to put on gear again? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Go represent your country and fight the best in the world and prove that you deserve what you're getting in terms of status and money or whatever it is.
I mean, There were a lot of comments flying around the internet, and I'm not going to, you know, I asked Asa for permission.
That's not geared towards anyone specific. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I understand. And the thing is, I think there were a lot of comments flying around about the IFMA. And one of them, I asked Asa for his permission, but, you know, so I'm not going to say who wrote this, but basically one of them says, like, yes, a lot of U.S. amateurs are not good enough to compete on the IFMA world stage. The guy even says most U.S. pros, he believes, are not even good enough to compete here at A class or even B class. And that is, and he's like, I'm not trying to put us down, but it's just that we're growing and it's tough, tough, tough out here. I mean, if you were to watch the IFMAs every single day, it was 4+ hours every single day of Muay Thai. And I couldn't watch all of it, but I tried to watch most of it. And I pretty much tried to watch every single USMF fighter that fought, or a Team USA fighter that fought. And I'll tell you, once again, Vinny said it earlier, the team that went out there, a lot of them were what we consider here. You guys that have listened to the podcast or love Muay Thai were absolute killers. Okay, we're talking about Janet Todd, which a lot of people know and love. Incredible fighter. We had Asa. We had Emilio, another talented fighter. You know, we had Selena Flores, talented fighter out of San Diego. You know, all of them really, really great and talented fighters. Some of the best that we have here in the U.S. And they went out there, and I'm not going to say, you know, and they lost. That's it. I'm not going to say.
By the way, before you go on, just congratulations to Oscar from Valor Training Center, Patrick Rivera's gym, for bringing home the gold.
Yeah.
So
out of all the athletes that we had, okay, so we had, I don't know the exact number of athletes that we had, but of all the athletes we had, we came back with one gold. And we came back with, was it a silver? I think there was two more medals. It was a silver and a bronze, I believe, or two bronze. I don't know. But either way, that medal count compared to, you know, there's other countries that bring in a solid amount of medals, you know. But it doesn't even matter. It's just the fact that it's so tough. There were tough, tough fighters. One of the fighters that Selena Flores fought, Lena Ovchevchenko or something. I think she's out of the Ukraine. She fought Tiffany Van Soest back in the day. She is pro. She's fought in Bellator. So she beats Selena and moves on. She lost to Thailand. So, and she's a seasoned pro. We're talking about like probably 100 plus fights or more. So even for those people, it's not easy. And there are tons of other fighters like that. You know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk has fought there too. She's lost a couple times as well. There's people who have lost at that IFMA, even with how badass they are. So that just goes to show you the level that we're facing. And the problem is they're going, the one thing, and somebody else wrote here, is what happens is, and we can go into the pro and amateur thing discussion right now, is the USA regulatory structure that we have here in the United States, quote unquote, the idea of pro versus amateur, is not commonplace in the rest of the world. The fact of the matter is that they do not give a shit, as in the rest of the world does not give a shit if Americans agree with how it works or not. So that means for all you guys out there that are saying, oh, but they, you know, aren't they supposed to be amateurs? Aren't they supposed to be pros? That's not the way it works in the rest of the world. And they don't give a shit if we agree with it or not. They're just moving forward and building their skills with or without us. And it's going to continue that way with or without us. And if we don't step up, they're going to outpace us. And that is, you know, what this person said. But that is what I also firmly believe. They're going to outpace us. And that's why I talk to you, all you guys that are amateurs that are trying to go to pro after seven fights or trying to pad your records and all that type of stuff. It really depends what you want to do. I mean, if you want to go to your job and tell people that you have a 7-0 record and that you're only doing this shit for shits and giggles, that's fine. But if you're really trying to make it, that shit's not going to fly, you know? That padding your record or avoiding fights in order to get more and more fights and then one day supposedly go pro with maybe 10 fights on your record, you know, good luck, man. You know, I really don't think you're gonna go very far. And that's not everyone. I mean, sure, there's outliers. But guys like Asa, listen, I've known Asa for a long time. And guys like Asa, he's pro now. But Asa had something like, that kid was always fighting. And 50-something, like he said, like 50-something fights. That's why they put him in A-class. So the idea is that the pro and the amateur ranks are very different. Here in the United States, we have pro, and the only thing that makes you a pro is that you get paid. That's the only thing that makes you pro. And in other countries, that's not what makes you pro. I fought in a tournament in Suriname, and what it was you were C-class, B-class, or A-class. And it was just the amount of fights you had. And I remember one of the guys from Holland that I met at this tournament, and I went to this, I went to this event with Eric Haycraft, who I bring up a lot. He's a guy that I highly respect. I really respect his opinion. We've had him on. And he basically said, he was the one who took me out there, and I talked to the Dutch guys, some of the Dutch guys that were out there. Some of them are big names now. Andy Riesty was on the card. Henry von Opstal was on the card. You know, I saw Andy Sauer there and Tyrone Spong. All these guys were there. And I remember them asking me, you know, like, they didn't ask me how many, I don't remember what it was. They didn't ask me, like, whether I was amateur or pro. That never came into the conversation. Nothing. It was, how many fights do you have? And they didn't even care about wins. Going back to what Vinny said, they don't even care about wins or losses. That's not what they asked me. They just asked me, how many fights do you have? I said, I had 17 fights. Okay, you're B-class. And then, trust me, guys, I walked into that 17 fights into that B-class in Suriname, watching these guys from Holland. And I can tell you right now, their B-class, some of their guys that had 10 or 12 fights looked nothing like the guys that have 10 or 12 fights here in the United States. These guys were guys that I thought would walk into any gym and fuck up a lot of people. Most of them amateurs. And I got knocked out in the first round, you know, by a Dutch guy that probably had maybe, he was B-class too, so he probably had about 20, 25, I think 30 fights is their A class. So he didn't have that much more experience than me, but he had a lot more experience than me. Let's just put it that way. So I don't know. I mean, that's just one of the things. The amateur and pro is very different in other parts of the world, and people don't give a shit. It's B class or C class. It's just how many fights you have. That's kind of the problem that we have here in the United States, is really we need to continue. I think what happens is too many people get this mindset. And I don't want to be in a complete monologue, so chime in whenever you want, Vinny. But people get in this mindset of, I think we're too enamored or too in love with this mentality of being pro, or the word professional.
There's that is one issue. Then there's the other issue of winning and losing.
Yeah.
Where people are afraid to have losses. Then this country is very superficial. So people, they need shit to boost their confidence. And that's pretty much it. You need a win to boost your confidence, or you need a paycheck to boost your confidence. You know, they don't really care so much about just going out and fighting and learning.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are looking for some sort of, I don't know, some validation. And they think that validation of the word professional.
Or they want to be an Instagram celebrity.
Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunate, but I do believe that does happen. And that's not to say, listen, guys, we're not picking on America. We're not picking on this is yeah, the only we're doing that. We're saying this now because that's who we are. We are two guys, Vinny and I, are two guys here in the United States that have been in love with Muay Thai for a long time, have talked to some of the best guys in the game, have met them, have seen what they do, have followed them, have supported them. We're here. That's what we're doing. And we see that they believe the same thing, that this is the opinion of how the sport is growing the sport is growing in America, but the pitfalls that we have.
The bottom line is people need to get on board and do what they have to do to help their fighters grow.
Yeah.
Because two important things are going to happen in the future. The first one is, from what I understand, IFMA is going to be in the United States in 2021. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Am I right on that one?
I think it's the World Games.
Oh, the World Games. Uh-huh. Okay. 2021. And then the next thing that's going to happen after that, in either 2024 or 2028, Muay Thai is going to be in the Olympics. So the game here in the U.S. really needs to step up. Everyone needs to get on board. They need to do what they have to do. Train harder. None of this fucking, oh, I just want to fight, I'm going to take 2 weeks off bullshit. Get back in the fucking gym Monday morning. Do what you have to do. Become a better fighter. Support your country. Support the USMF. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the overall of this. And listen, I know that there is other stuff out there. There's probably guys. I know there's promoters, certain promoters that are out there that are probably, if they do listen to us, they're probably like, well, that doesn't fucking happen. Or commissioners or whatever the fuck. I don't care. Whatever you guys are. The commissioners and things like that. That's just not how the way things run here. Because we have all this bullshit bureaucracy around the fight game. You know, I talked to another good friend of mine, another good fighter that actually went to IFMA. And he just said, I mean, here's the thing. The win and losses thing is something that the win and loss thing is something that we need to get beyond. I mean, we had one of the best coaches in America. We had him on the podcast. If you guys want to go back and listen to, which is Kieran Fitzgibbons. That's not to say that Brian and Eric and all these other guys aren't, you know, among the best. And Kieran even said one of the things he talked about was that he didn't like this whole fucking, you know, thing that we put too much of so much like power behind the win and the loss, in the sense of, oh, okay, if you losing is a learning experience, you know? So,
I hate the term.
You know, so it's almost like, no, you lost.
Nothing pisses me off more than when someone says either you win or you learn.
Yeah.
That bothers me so much, because no, you fucking lost. Accept it, deal with it, and then you can learn from it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not the idea, guys. We're not trying to go with this whole like, hey, you know, that it's, you know, that losing is a fucking terrible thing and you should never lose. No, the idea is losing is going to happen. Losing is going to happen, but it's about dealing with it, fucking dealing with it, and just realizing that that is the whatever made you lose. Okay, you need to go and learn from it and just fucking continue going forward. Not focusing on the fact that, oh, it was just a learning ability and yes, yes. Because that's stuff you tell yourself to soften the blow, you know, but really what you need to do is just get back in there and start training again and realize what was it that I did wrong and go back there and continue to fight.
If you win, there's things that you did wrong that you need to improve on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's guys who win and they walk out and they're like, fuck, I just felt like that was a terrible fight. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Sometimes we're hard on our fighters and we tell them, no, you looked great. And then maybe, I mean, at that moment, and then we'll go back and look at it and say, yeah, there was the things that you need to fix when they win. And if they lose, a lot of us also as coaches will soften the blow and say, no, you looked great, you did this, but we need to go back to the drawing board. And, you know, it is what it is. I think one time I heard Rami say when one of his guys lost was, it is what it is, which I think is way better than you win or you learn. Just said, it is what it is. You fucking lose.
I like when I see posts on social media of guys that fought and they lost, and what they turn around and say is, you know what? He was the better man.
Yeah.
That is the saying that I enjoy the most, because he was.
He was that night.
That night.
That night he was a better man. Because at the end of the day, or better woman, whatever, at the end of the day, that's what it is, right? So
that's not, I mean, not to say that, you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes there is robbery involved because, you know, That's a whole nother topic of stupidity in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to rules and judging, but anyway.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I like the most. When people just say, you know what? I didn't do what I had to do. He did. He won. That's it. I lost.
Yeah, yeah. And then you see a lot of those guys just jump right back into it. You know, so, and that is something that.
Those are the guys that get far in the sport.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like Asa, man. I go back to Asa, and it's not because, you know, yes, I'm a fan of Asa's, but I also believe that what he showed.
Eric's a total Asa fanboy.
I am a total Asa fanboy now, but I've always been, whatever. I'm a fanboy of everybody. You guys know this, you know? So the thing is, I mean, but the one thing that caught me about him was, yeah, because he was featured in all these things, but it was just his attitude after losing. He got caught, fucking, oh, man, I got caught, you know? And then the rest of the time, man, I saw pictures of him smiling and chilling and just like, I'm going to get back in this shit. I'm coming back. I'm going to fuck guys up next year. You know, that's kind of the attitude he had. He was just like, I'm going to be back next year. And I'm going to do this shit all over again. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was just like, I'm coming back next year and I'm going to do this. And those are the guys that go far. And if we take it and we take it into the sports world, right, the sports world that we already look at on a daily basis, right, in mainstream sports, that's how champions are made. Like, listen, man, they lose. You've seen teams that will lose a final one year, and that same fucking team will come to the finals next year and win it. And it's why? Because those guys probably are like, all right, you know, they probably walked away. They were disappointed. They sucked it up, had to go through an entire season again in order to get to the end. And they still, and they went through that entire season, worked their asses off, and then won what they felt they should have won the year before. But they had to go through it all over again. It was no fucking, you know, as our friend Jeff DeHillo from West Coast Muay Thai says, I think that comes from a song or something, but no easy props. Basically, it is, man. You have to work all over again. That's why that saying, back to the drawing board, is so true, because that's what it is. You lose, the next fight is back to the drawing board. Everything has to be redone again and recalculated and redone and everything, and then you fight again. And that's how you win. But you got to keep doing that every single time. And even if you win, I think even if you win, it's back to the drawing board, because the next fight isn't going to be the same. It's not going to be the same opponent. And especially with these things, like with IFMA, you win one fight, like Asa beat Thailand, right? That doesn't mean you're going to fucking go on and beat the next guy. You know, we had this other guy, Preston Anderson, great, fought great, knocked out his first opponent, right? Then his second opponent, he beat his opponent from Japan. And then he faced a really tough opponent from Peru. Peru, by the way, has a phenomenal team. And he lost that fight. But that's what I'm just saying. After he knocked out his first guy, he can't be like, oh, I knocked out this dude. This shit's mine. No, this is IFMA, dude. You know? And then he went to fight and he fought Japan. He couldn't go in there. I beat Japan. Oh, this is mine. No, he went against Peru and then Peru beat him. You know? That's just the way it works. It's a tough, tough tournament. You got to go in there. Every single fight has to be like you're fighting, you know, the final. That's it. Every single one of them. And I think that's what people don't understand. And that's what I go back to, like, a close friend of mine who went to IFMA many years ago. And he said, people in America, just, they don't get it. They don't get what IFMA is. They don't get the level that there is around the world, you know. And I'm talking about a guy who's pro, and he was pro when he went there, and he got knocked out. Or he got stopped. He didn't get knocked out. He got stopped with a body shot, I think. And he told me, he was like, it's just another freaking level. The guys that are out there. And some of them, they don't care, man. Like, it's not about fame. It's not about money. It's not about anything other than, I mean, some of them, it's not even about being at IFMA or representing their country. It's almost about just experience. I just want to get better. And the only way I'm going to get better is fighting these tough, tough, tough guys. The only way I'm going to get better is fighting the best that other countries have to offer. You know, so I go back to you amateur guys that try to pad your record. If you beat the best guy from fucking, I don't know, from Rockaway Beach, right? But then you can't handle the best guy in Long Island. Dude, what the fuck? You're in the wrong sport, dude. You know, you're scared of fighting the best guy there that's going to come out of some gym in some place. I don't know, in some other little town in America. There's countries all over the world where there's guys like that that are taking every opportunity they get and building up a record and have 100, 200, 300 fights, you know? And these guys don't give a shit about pay or Instagram or I need to put up a fan page or any of that shit. They don't give a fuck. They just want to get experience and be the best. And that's what IFMA is about. And we'll probably bring on people to talk more about it because we're just giving you the point of view. And I want to state that we're giving the point of view of two guys who were watching it, not two guys that were there. And we're going to bring on guys that were there to give us their experience of how tough IFMA was this year. Because it was tough for Team USA, but they did a great job. Every single fucking one of them. All of them fought great.
And at the end, I bet you that most of them were just getting home today.
Yeah.
From traveling. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you most of them will be back in the gym tomorrow morning. I mean, or evening, whatever it is. Whenever they train.
Yeah. But anyway, they'll get back at it. All of them. And especially, you know, the ones we already know that are on there, definitely. And, you know, and their coaches. And the thing is, a lot of it is, you know, and shout out to the coaches, because a lot of the coaches there are coaches that we've had on here and we respect. And they're the same. Those coaches, guys like Brian Popejoy, Patrick Rivera, Jason Farrell. Who else was there?
Brian and Danny Brandt are the two head coaches.
Yeah, Danny Brandt. What's this guy? Steve Miles from Five Points.
Yep.
All these guys are fantastic coaches. And these are the guys, the reason their fighters are where they are is because of their work ethic and their mentality of how to bring their fighters up. You know, they're not throwing their guys after four fights and saying, you know what, man, you're totally ready to go pro. None of them are like that. And I think that's the reason why we throw our support behind the USMF and Michael Corley and all of these guys, you know. That's it. You know, I mean, really, that's we're going to try to bring one of them on, hopefully, or somebody that fought, maybe Asa, because Vinny says I'm a fanboy. So we'll try to get them back on and kind of tell us their experience, how tough it was this year, because they had a tough time. But we came out with a gold medal. Oscar Castro doing an amazing job. And he basically...
Two bronze medals.
Yep.
Yep. Preston and what was her name? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Who?
She fought the shit. I'm drawing a blank. Is it Ashley? No.
She won her first fight and then lost her second.
Yeah, she got the bronze.
I think it was Angela Whitley.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Angela.
Yeah.
About that, if you're listening, Angela.
So we had two bronze and one gold. Okay, so, and it's a tough event, guys. So, you know, just to let's sum this all up now, it's basically throw your support behind USMF, throw your support around all these amateur tournaments that are going on, get yourself fighting, and keep yourself busy. One thing I did see Jason Farrell talk about was that, you know, a lot of you promoters out there got to sit down and really kind of understand how to space out these events so that guys can compete on them. Don't put two on the same night or compete with one like one week after the other, because guys can't do that. You know, make it so that guys can compete almost on every show if they possibly could. You know, the ones that really want to do this, you know.
Yeah. At the end of the day right now, I mean, like Eric Haycraft mentioned in his podcast, there are different, you know, what was it, five major groups of people that are involved in the sport.
Yeah.
And promoters are one of them.
Yeah.
And I think promoters are a major part, because without the promoters, guys don't fight. So it's really, they're responsible for the experience that fighters are getting. Yeah. So if you guys are trying to cut each other's throats and put your events on the same night to try and sell more tickets than the other guy, you're really just screwing over the fighters in the end.
Yeah, and you're screwing over yourselves, because, I mean, fans can't go to one week after another. You know, not all the fans are going to be able to do that, you know. And a lot of the fans, or as Eric Haycraft has said in his podcast too, a lot of the fans right now, we don't have casual fans. They're just a lot of them are fans or friends of those fighters that are on the card. So if they don't have somebody on your card or something like that, or if it's one after the other, one event after the other, and they might have gone to the first one, but then they probably can't do the second one. If these things are too close together, they're just, you're cutting into each other, and we need to stop that too. So, you know, it's just about growing the sport, and that's what needs to happen here. I was talking to Vinny offline, you know, and this is just something I wanted to throw out there. So a lot of you guys that are fighters know about, you know, Vasily Lomachenko, right? Incredible boxer, amazing. Probably, you know, a lot of guys already are saying he's probably the best boxer ever, you know, which is a long shot because he still only has 12 fights as a pro. But what I'm talking about, when I talk about these things at IFMA, is guys like Lomachenko are the guys almost, like, let's think of if Lomachenko did Muay Thai, that's kind of what, you know, our guys at IFMA are dealing with. You know, these are guys like that. Okay, so Lomachenko's from the Ukraine. The Ukraine had a team at IFMA. And what I'm saying is Lomachenko might have only 12 pro fights, right? One of them, he has one loss, right? He has 396 wins and only one loss as an amateur. That's ridiculous. And that is something that, and so this goes back to Ace's post. I'm wondering, do you think Lomachenko got paid for all of those 396 fights? Was he doing it for money? Or was he doing it because he wanted to be the best? I wonder if Lomachenko still, now he's probably making a shitload of money. But I wonder if, and to get where he got, I don't think he gave a fuck about money until he got where he got. You know, now he is, you know, now that all that hard work is paying off. But 396 wins, you know, let's think that maybe 70% of those, he didn't get paid. He didn't get paid money. He probably got subsidies for his training and things like that. And they paid for his travel, which is something that our US, you know, team doesn't have. And those are the ways that he got to that level. And those are the guys that the guys at IFMA are facing.
Which when we say, you know, support the USMF and all that, you know, if you have the means to try to make a donation, help Team USA out. Listen, even if it's $5, $10, everything helps, you know.
Yeah, everything helps. And we've done it. We were proud to support Team USA. And Vinny raised a lot of money to basically help them out. And we've done things and we've put them on the podcast and everything. But really, guys, one thing I want to reach, and this is something that's my goal from as the Striking Corner, but I would really like to see if we can all come together and do that. And I'm calling out to all you guys that listen to us. If you're new to the sport, great. If you're somebody that's not new to the sport, you know, it's something that you should be doing. But also, guys, get the word out about this podcast and try to push it so also more people hear about the USMF, more people know about the USF, more people know about Muay Thai, because that's really what we want, the growth. But at the end of the day, I think one of the goals that I would like to see is that we raise enough money so that the next time we take Team USA to one of these IFMA World Championships, we can pay the way of every single athlete on our team, every single athlete. We can fly them all out there without them having to pay a dime out of their own pocket. That would be huge, guys. That would be making it, you know. And then if we can get to the point where when they get back, if they earn a gold medal, we can give them something awesome out of the donation that USMF can give them some. That would be amazing. But that's all going to have to be with you guys donating and pushing the agenda and going to your local fights and watching this shit on TV and pushing and loving this sport as much as we love it in order for people to see it and people to start investing money in it. And that is the way that this thing is going to grow and make change. Because a lot of these fucking commissions and judges and all this bullshit, people got to raise flags or this stuff's never going to change. So anyway, that's it. That's our show, because I can ramble on forever about this shit. So, you know, let's just give our old loop out. Anyway, guys, so that was our podcast for today. We are glad to be back here on the Striking Corner. Both Vinny and I, very happy currently with what's going on with the Striking Corner shop. You know, you guys can go to the Striking Corner shop at strikingprofessional.com. You can also go to strikingcorner.com and access the store through there. Once again, Striking Professional is also on Instagram at Striking Professional. We are at Striking Corner on Instagram. I am at Eric Rivera _TSC. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
At Vinny Scotto on Instagram or any social media, really.
Yeah, guys. So
those followers, by the way.
Yeah, Vinny's still trying to get to, what is it? What are you trying to get to now? Was it 10,000 or something else?
It was 10,000 originally.
Oh, okay.
And But now I figure I'll make a short-term goal, 1,000.
that sounds doable. So yeah, guys, I mean, so much stuff going on, so much Muay Thai, so much stuff going on in the world with Muay Thai and trying to grow this thing and continue. Like we said, Striking Professional is our shop. We recently released one of it's really a popular shirt. You guys loved it, and I'm really happy to say we're happy about that. The support we've been receiving for that shirt. It is
cool. Huh? Definitely love those shirts.
Yeah,
they've actually been going like hotcakes. We're actually running low on stock, so don't wait on those.
Yeah, so those are our Feed the Beast T-shirts. One of them says "Teep Faces Eat Pizza." And the other one says, "Kick livers, eat tacos." And the taco shirt right now is outpacing the pizza one. Which kind of
upsets me.
Which pisses Vinny off as an Italian and pisses me off as a wannabe Italian, because we love pizza. But that's because we're East Coasters. So it means a lot of you West Coast guys are winning because y'all love your tacos.
I love tacos.
No, but we love tacos, we love pizza, and that's the reason we put them on the shirt, because I think that was the consensus of what fighters always talked about wanting to eat after they were done with fighting and the weigh-ins and shit. So that's why we put it on there. And nobody, I mean, kick livers eat tacos or teep faces and eat pizza sounds like a plan to me. All right, guys, so those shirts are currently on sale. Well, they're there in the shop. And we have them in tank tops and women's tees. They're currently available in white and black, so check them out. And that's it, guys. We will be back in 2 weeks, we promise, with another episode of the Striking Corner. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more Muay Thai and kickboxing content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Striking Corner.